a contribution test at all on it, as opposed to where the boundary is, which is recorded in the deeds of the county, and whatever it changes is recorded in the deeds of the county. But any other test besides just being part of, seems to me, I don't know how you're going to prove that it was not managed, you know, to be part of, you know, a farm. I just don't, what records do we have to prove that at all? None. I mean, it's just, the only thing we have a record of is the what's included in a farm operation on a certain date based on the deeds. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just real concerned about getting into these. Well, I welcome hearing what other records we have all over the state that tell us, you know, that a particular parcel was or was not managed as part of a farm, aside from ownership. I'm not aware of any. I'd love to hear about them if there are some.
Hector, do you want to come up and address that, how that could work?
Hector MacPherson. I was afraid you were going to ask me that. That's a tough one. You know, I think that when we talk about a farm operation, I have no problem with that if you're going to deal with it right, what's going on there now. I think that if you say not managed as a part of, you can easily at this time look at the records and the fellow has, what the neighbors say and so on, and find out whether that actually is being managed as a part. And I think of my example there at Peterson Butte, where we have below the butte, you have your grass seed farms. Some of those grass seed farmers own land that goes up on the butte that really isn't being managed as part of it. I don't think anybody would disagree with you. But I don't know how you'd know 10 years down the line. I think you might be able to get people to come back and testify. But that's the only way. But any way that you're going to tackle this problem is, I see it as being imperfect. My feeling is that really you're going to have to accept some imperfect things here if you're going to accept that concept at all. It really doesn't bother me to let that be a subject of argument. I the significant thing, I think that's really is getting, that's too far off. Not managed as a part of or making a contribution. Either of those, I don't really see much difference between them as far in my mind. There isn't much difference in the land that would be qualified and the land that wouldn't be qualified. But I think as long as we leave this three of the preceding 5 years, there gets to be a time when that's not going to be very workable out there. But I think it could be worked as of now. But I am sort of reluctant to say that this land that somebody happens to own that's up on the butte or that extends into this area that we think is marginal land, that they really are denied what somebody else who owned it as a separate parcel in the same area would have. I don't know if I asked your question, but that's my feeling.
I didn't quite understand which way Hector said he felt it was not fair, or he felt it was fair.
And Representative Van Loon, I felt it was somewhat unfair. I think that was the point you brought out, and I tended to agree with you on that, that there ought to be some way to let the person who happens to own the land up there, because he bought a whole farm, part of it extends up on the butte, and if he's not doing anything with it, it's just as marginal as the guy who happens to have bought it as a separate parcel up there.
Madam Chairman, this is just an aside that I wanted to make the other day, the first part of this. A number of years ago, when the State Highway Department was trying to condemn and take our farm and the river bottom land that surrounds it, my husband and I tried our dead level best, along with some of the people from the County Parks Department, to get the State Department of Transportation to look at the top of Peterson's Butte as a possibility and trade it for the park site that they wanted to put along the Willamette River on our property and the neighboring property. And DOT would not look at it. They were using the criteria that our farm was, and Hector was in the legislature at that time, he will remember, they were using the criteria that they could condemn it as DOT because it had access from the freeway. And we kept trying to say there was much more use for this that I now see as marginal land up there on the top for people to go off of the freeway a shorter distance the other way and see the whole valley. Anyway, we were turned down, and for the record, our park was traded for Mount Pisgah Park in Eugene as far as the Willamette Greenway was concerned. That's just an aside, but it's interesting to know that we were suggesting then to them that they take land that was probably marginal land and use it for a park purpose. The one thing that I wanted to ask right now, the handout that Beth gave to us today, I thought I understood her to say that this was material that had been worked on today instead of a week ago. Is that a correct date on here?
Yes.
June 20th, I did not mean to put on here. On Friday, June 17th, whatever it was.
No, it was later than that.
Last Friday it was worked on.
24. And then the rest of the material was worked on just very recently.
July 27th, today.
June 27th. Well, then... the June 17th is wrong there too, if
right.
Number 4.
Okay. Well, we've generally agreed with the unworkability of all options on this one.
I think we need to make a decision, okay. and Hector and Elizabeth, would you let me know if I'm wrong on this?
The test only applies
it seems
to
me.
This test only applies to land.
That if we use the land did not make a contribution to a farm operation is about the same as and about as litigious as the land was not managed as part of a farm operation, that those are really about saying about the same thing with about...
See, and I agree.
Okay. I think so.
Representative Anderson and then Representative Hill.
Let me throw this out. We keep arguing about the income tests and everything. Those would give people options to use a couple of different methods. And one would be the land did not make a contribution to farm operation, period. If he took that option, then he has to include the option that it's parcelized and that it's bad soil. What would we have there? Mandatory all three. Given that alternative, if he didn't want to come up with the income test, then he had to meet both the other tests.
That question was directed to me, was Representative.
Yeah.
I would have to study on that a little while. I don't think I can give you a direct answer on that.
Well, it seems to me it gives a three hard test, but it doesn't have the income thing that everybody's arguing about. But it says it didn't make a contribution, it's already parcelized, and it has poor soil. If you have those three things set in concrete, do you need the income test? As an option.
Not an option for me.
I think that I'd have to study too, but it seems to me that if it had to meet all three tests, that it has to be both parcelized and poor soil, that you'd really tighten down on the number of parcels that could be in marginal lands, that you would go from here down to that much, would be my guess. Representative Hill.
Kind of following along Andy's suggestion, let's just take this as maybe as a thought anyway. The land was not managed as a part of a commercial farm operation in three of the 5 years preceding the effective date of this 1983 Act. That means a commercial farm operation could be fairly easily defined, seems to me. They couldn't? Hector says no.
Hobby.
Hector McPherson again. No, I think now we have that kind of as I understand it, the LCDC has tried to define what a commercial operation is, but it isn't a set figure, and there's nothing in there that you can hang your hat on. Some counties have used figures for a commercial operation which were only producing $1,000 or $2 in their effort to qualify a given parcel of land for a home. Now, if you took if they took that as their test of a commercial operation, it would be a very small one and wouldn't let anything in at all. Other places might use a much more significant figure there for what was a commercial farm operation. Really, what we're doing when we say $20,000, we are defining what, in terms of this law, a commercial operation is. This is something that anybody can understand and read, and we get statewide uniformity. on the thing. And I think that's desirable to go to some kind of test that it really does lend a little substance to what we've been talking about, instead of having everybody go to court about trying to prove whether this is or is not a commercial operation.
It's one of those things that you talk about that's clear and objective standards, I think. I see it as.
Madam Chair.
Representative, yeah.
It's not a clear and objective standard for the part-time, serious commercial farmer or the farmer who has a joint operation with, for instance, forestry and agriculture, if he doesn't make $20,000.
He doesn't have to go into marginal lands either. Dick, do you want to?
Gross or not?
It's gross. This is gross.
Neil? Richard Benner. Representative Hill, that is serious part-time farmer. Before the, you're concerned about the serious part-time farmer who still doesn't make $20,000 yet and may in a couple of years being harmed in some way by...
He didn't make $20,000, excuse me, 5 years before 1983.
Okay. Being harmed in some way by the marginal lands concept.
Mm-hmm.
But recall that that person's farm or farms around him will only be marginal lands if those lands qualify as marginal lands. In other words, that person's are going to have to be trying to do a part-time farm on lower productivity soil before he's in danger that way, or he's going to have to be operating in an area of small ownerships. If that is the case, and he's one of these people on 30 acres who gets swept up in a small ownerships area in Washington County, for example, and he isn't protected because he hasn't made the 20,000 or did not make the 20,000 yet. That's one of the reasons that Agriculture for Oregon has been cautious about the parcel size in marginal lands, and why it's been cautious about the percentage of small ownerships in a small ownership area which would qualify for marginal lands. What I'm, just to sum that up for you, what I'm saying is, I think the circumstances in which this might be a problem for that part-time farmer are fairly narrow. And even if that farm is swept into marginal lands and has marginal land on two or three sides, probably that designation is going to reflect his reality anyway, because those small parcels and probably some houses on them are going to be there anyway. And your second problem about the joint agriculture forestry operation, can't we simply say in the income test, the land was not part of, or whatever you want to put in there, a farm or a joint farm forest operation or combined farm forest operation that produced $20,000 or more? And I think you do want to catch that kind of operation in your net.
Madam Chair, I did not understand the thrust of what Mr. Brenner just gave at the last. You wanted to catch who?
Well,
or did not want to catch
who? Well, I think he was trying to address Representative Hill's problem.
Representative Hill was concerned, as I understood
it. Concerns.
We have an income test here for a farm operation.
About a second.
But some of the land which may qualify as marginal will be joint farm forest operations, like a lot of Willamette Valley foothills are grazing in forestry woodlot. So he was concerned that if we only had an income test for the farm operation, suppose you had a grazing woodlot operation where the grazing alone didn't produce 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
And my suggestion was that you say here farm and for farm forest operation. So if the combined income from grazing cattle and cutting trees is $20,000, or under $20,000, it can be marginal. If it's over $20,000, it would not be marginal.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Dick, can I ask you the same question? I'm trying to get down to Southern Oregon, you know, Coos, Curry, Douglas, Jackson, Josephine. If it doesn't make a contribution, if it's already parcelized, and if it's already class 5 soil and less, aren't those tests pretty substantial. We don't have either ors, or we lock all three of those tests in concrete. Would we then need to show that last 3 or 5 years contribution?
If you just ask whether this farm is making a contribution now, and it's in a parcelized area and it's poor soil, I think if you met those three tests, you'd have something that was downright marginal, no doubt about it. But I think if that's all you said in the bill, then your set of marginal lands in the state would be extremely small.
Yeah, I think it would be great for Southern Oregon. I don't know where it goes with Eastern Oregon, and it would probably be terrible for Willamette Valley and Tri-Counties. I don't know. But I've just described all of Southern Oregon. It's parcelized, it's poor soil, it's not making a contribution, other than maybe some grazing land somewhere.
And then all of that land, in my mind, would qualify under the direction I think you're heading with this definition of marginal land.
Going back to Representative Bradbury, what do we do 15 years down the line when we want to build a house on this 20 acres? How in the devil do we ever find out whether it made or didn't make a contribution to a farm, or the income test, particularly the $20,000, 3 out of 5 years back 15 years ago. That's why I'm trying to drive at, do we need the income test? In other words, let's leave the income test for Willamette Valley, maybe, and Tri-County or whatever, and then give the option to them of either or, like it is now. Leave it like it is for Willamette Valley. But for some of the other areas, like Southern Oregon and the coast, let them lock it in concrete with all three, but give up the income test. I mean, it's something to look at.
But what, Representative Anderson, what about the situation in, I think in Southern Oregon and Eastern Oregon too, where you've got some areas of low productivity soils, but not broken down into small ownerships?
They're probably being grazed, is my answer, but
well, when some field testing was done in Wasco County, there were thousands of acres along 7 Mile Creek, which is southwest of the Dalles, that is class 6 soil, basically, has almost no woodland suitability because of low rain, but is not in small ownerships. It is in ownerships like 100 acres, 200 acres, 300 acres. Some of it is a low producing orchard, but most of it is just being grazed for fun, and it's definitely not commercial. The extension agent for the county said, for all intents and purposes, it's not being used, but it's not broken into small parcels yet.
It's zoned for another option. They'd have to take the Willamette Valley option.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Russ, did you want to say something? And then we have got to move along on this bill, or we're going to be spending the rest of the day on these two lines again.
I can move the first of the other amendment on the first of this page here.
Did you want to make just a quick comment?
Yeah, if I could, just to make it clear.
Your name for the record.
Russ Nivon, Marion County Planning Director. Along with Representative Anderson, I think the county planning directors do not like the income aspect of this criteria. That doesn't mean that we want to take land that has been part of a commercial agricultural enterprise and designated as marginal lands. So there's really two issues here. The goal now uses the term commercial agricultural enterprise. It's in LCDC's rules. It is not a perfect decision, and as Hector pointed out, you're going to have to deal with some imperfections. The point is, in Marion County and in a lot of counties, when I approve farm parcels, when I approve farm dwellings, when I'm looking at my resource lands, we use the phrase commercial agricultural enterprise. A thousand friends may not be happy about how we always interpret that, but LCDC is doing studies with Oregon State on defining it. That's the area where everybody is trying to focus. The objection we have now is that this bill proposes to use this $20,000 standard in effect as a substitute for all that effort to define what commercial agriculture is. We don't object to having a criteria in here that says it does not make a contribution to or is not managed as part of. I like the word contribution better than managed, but we've dickered about that long enough. Something like that has to be in the first criteria so that land that has been part of a commercial agricultural enterprise is not designated as marginal. That's our position.
Madam Chair.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
Review for me what is the reason beside, no matter what section of the state we are in, having to have 20 acres in one glob, if you want to put it that way, to classify as marginal land? You don't?
Representative Van Leeuwen, there is no requirement to be designated as marginal land that you need to be any size whatsoever. Conceivably, you could be 2 acres large. However, the benefits of being marginal land then would be minimized. As the bill is written now, you receive the benefits at a 20-acre minimum lot size, so you wouldn't make an effort if you were under 40 acres, for instance, to become marginal land. However, you can become marginal land at any size, conceivably.
If you're marginal, what allows
for it? Is there any further discussion on
wait,
the...
Wait a minute, Darlene. Madam Chairman?
Yes.
If I had a piece that was classed as fit all the criteria of being marginal, and let's say it was 5 acres up on top of my old Peterson's Butte again, and that were, it was an adequate area for the septic drain field and so forth, could I build on that acreage if it classed as marginal land?
Representative Van Leeuwen, I don't think simply by virtue of its being classed as marginal land you could. However, under the proposed lot of record definition in here, it might fit, or under the new exceptions process, it would probably have a much easier time getting in under an exception because it would have been designated as marginal land and certain facts would already have been recognized.
Or under the, if it was part of, your land, it could fit, what is it, statute 212, 213, where non-farm dwelling, it could fit also under that. So it's got several different slots it could fit under.
But if it were classed, because it were classed marginal, that doesn't do it?
No.
Wrong?
Oh, one. Okay.
Oh, wait. Hector, do you want to come on?
That's what I thought it was all about.
If this can be done under an administrative process, any individual property owner could come in under the criteria, and the criteria are tailored to an evaluation of one particular piece of property. And if I, as the administrator, made the determination that they met all the criteria, then if the bill also says that they're entitled to a dwelling on that piece, I could give them that dwelling on an evaluation of those criteria rather than having to use the non-farm criteria or some others. So, but I see that as a very remote possibility. I think most of the counties are looking at this in terms of addressing a number of properties in a legislative review. But there are some of us that may apply it on a property by property basis. And in Marion County, I can see a person with 40 acres coming in and asking for marginal land designation because he wants to break it into two 20s and then have a house on each of the 20s. And that's probably going to be the most common type situation.
Right, but she's talking about like 5 acres, Hector.
But 5 acres?
Yes, Hector McPherson. Because of the lot of records, the wide open lot of records situation we've got in marginal land, if that is an area that fits in marginal land, yes, you can build a house if you've got 1 acre up there. You can build a house on it as
but that's only under a lot of record. That's not by virtue of it being defined as marginal land.
Yes, because we tied that part of the lot of record to it. We have two lot of record provisions in here, and the one that is tied to marginal land is practically wide open.
Yeah, which is
so that any 5 acre parcel would fit in a marginal land area.
2 acres or less business?
No, that's under EFU.
We don't even have that. You could have it a half acre. You could have it 10 acres. You could have it any size you want. Now, if she's got 100 acres up on there, she's not going to be able to build, not be able to cut the whole thing up into 5 acre parcels. The way the law is written now, you'd have to cut it up into 20 acre parcels and put one house on each 20 acres of your 100 acres. But your 5 acre parcel comes in without any problem.
Right. Under the lot of record.
Under the lot of record.
Under the lot of record.
In marginal land.
Under marginal lands.
Okay.
Is there any more discussion? I think we've had a fair amount of it yesterday and an hour of it today. On changing this to the motion on the table is deletion of did not make a significant contribution to, and instead inserting is not managed as part of, and representative troop, would you, a friendly amendment would, which would make it consistent by using the word was instead of is.
I'll take that as a friendly amendment. I'll probably vote against my own motion, but I'll take that as a friendly amendment.
Clerk, would you call the roll?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear the motion.
The motion is delete did not make a significant contribution to, and instead, and it's number three on this memo that, not number three, number four on this memo, is was not managed as part of.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Van Leeuwen? Substituting was not managed as part of.
Yes.
Or did not make a significant contribution to.
We have been given, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, we've been given different definitions for what those two things do today until to the point that it's become confusing. No.
Okay.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bradbury?
No.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Priestley?
No.
Representative Trahern?
No.
Representative Troop?
No.
Chair Hooley?
No. Motion fails.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
Well, I was just going to move that it read, the land was not part of a farm operation. I don't know if that's the proper flow or not, but that's what I'd like to see there, so I thought I'd move it.
We had, Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I guess if he's moved, that's okay. The one that was my, I thought it was everybody's second choice, was that does not make a contribution. But
did not make a contribution, yeah. Mm. Okay, Representative Bradbury moves was that we delete did not make the significant contribution to, and instead insert the land was not part of a farm operation.
Madam Chair.
Representative Van Leeuwen and then Representative Trahern.
In the vote that we just now made, we were required to vote between did not make a significant contribution to and was not managed as a part of.
The deletion of one and addition of the other.
Okay. We had to make a choice between those two. And now we are being asked to make just to vote on is not a part of without being given the chance of voting for the one we just voted no on in preference to is not a part of. I would like to.
That's the way it is.
What?
It wouldn't require a vote. That's the way the language came from the Senate.
Is not a part of?
No.
No, did not make a significant contribution to. The motion right now before us is the land was not part of a farm operation that produced. Okay.
Madam Chair.
And you're deleting did not make a significant contribution. Madam Chair. Representative Trahern?
Question the maker of the motion. The motion, the land was not a part of a farm operation. Is that then period delete the rest of that line and the following line? Or was that a part of your motion?
No, it wasn't part of my motion.
Accepted as a friendly amendment.
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think I would, but I certainly would be interested in discussing the issue. Just to not integrate it with this one right now.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson and then Representative Parkinson.
I believe we heard from counsel that if we changed it to say is not a part of, would pretty much prevent any partitioning of a farm operation, period. If that's the intent of the maker of the motion,
that's probably correct, that they'd have to sell it off.
I would prefer instead that the language not make a contribution.
Madam Chair.
I've got Representative Parkinson and then Representative Bradbury.
Madam Chair, we discussed using the present language, the three words that Mr. Russ mentioned, using the language commercial agricultural enterprise. That's in the rules now and seems to be working.
We have not discussed that other than his suggestion. Representative Bradbury.
I'd just like to speak to the motion. It seems to me that as this stretches out over a little bit longer period of time, 5 years from now, about the only thing we're going to be able to determine with certainty is whether or not a specific parcel was or was not part of a farm operation. The direction of my motion is that that's the information we're sure to have. And I guess I don't think that the intent of this act is to, be dividing up commercial farms as we've defined them here in this bill. The intent is to find those blocks of land that aren't really in production, I think, as Representative Troop spoke to. There may be a slight inequity to the farmer in this proposal. But I think that given the farm community...